websites, making it difficult for customers to find.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today is All Saints Sunday, and this is a day when a lot of people are missing departed loved ones in the Lord. And so I thought today would be a great day for us to look together at aloneness and loneliness and what God says to us about that in the Bible. Do you feel alone or lonely at times in your life? Isolated, cut off, not in company, being alone? What's God say to us about that today by His Word for our help and for our encouragement in Christ? Let's take a look at that. And so, what does God say about aloneness and being lonely and feeling alone in this world? Well, the very first thing He says to us in the Scriptures is, being alone is not good. Where do we read that? You know it. The very first word God ever had in the Bible to say anything was not good was about a man being alone. We read in 2:18 of Genesis, the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. So does God like aloneness for a man or a person? No, he made the woman and then brought her to the man. And then the man said, wow, this is woman. And then therefore a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. And what? The two became one. So what does that mean? God designed us for unity, for connection, for the man and the woman, not only in body, but in person, in heart, in spirit, and in mind, for them to have that deep, deep connection, getting rid of aloneness, right? So they were one to be, one with God, and then also one with each other, and the greatness didn't even stop there, because God told them, be fruitful and multiply, have children, have families, and fill the earth with a great company of people who, according to the original design, were to be filled with wondrous connection, deep intimacy, oneness with God and with each other. So that's fantastic, isn't it? Original design. So being alone is not good, according to God. He did the remedy for that. The original design is to put us together in relationships and oneness and connection. Is that what we have today? No. What happened? Well, you know, sin came in. And what does sin do? It breaks relationships. It separates, alienates, and creates great distances. Breaks the connections between people. Broke the connection between God and man, for sure. And then also between man and man. For what happened when they sinned? They didn't have that intimate connection anymore, for they had to hide from each other. Because they were naked and ashamed. And then they also hid from God. So they're hiding in that sense. So they're a great aloneness entered the world with sin, which is the great divider. And what else entered with sin? Death, which is the great divider as well, that you might even have your connections broken off in that great way that your loved one is even taken away from you. How hard this is. Amen? This is terrible. Terrible. The bleakness and the desolation that came into the world through the reign of sin and under the shadow of death. What a trouble that is. So, I want to ask next, who feels aloneness and loneliness? Answer, everybody does. We all do. You know, believers and unbelievers alike feel these things because it's a human condition. If you think of it, you can feel alone and lonely at all times in your life. If you're young, you could feel alone because your friends or your classmates pick on you and estrange you and cast you off. You can feel very alone when you're young. You can feel alone when you're in your adulthood and think, man, how deep can I really have connections with people? Am I really even connected? You can feel alone and lonely when you're old because, well, your friends are dying and you're leaving you all alone. It can be very, very tough. Horrid, scary, as a matter of fact. You can feel alone when you're alone. Amen, right, Jeff? You can feel alone when you're alone. How about, though, you can also feel alone when you are in a great crowd or a stadium of people. Because aloneness is about the heart, about whether you're connected or not. You can be in a room filled with people and yet be entirely alone and isolated because it's in your heart. This is the trouble we're having with sin and death and such things. But not only so, who makes it even worse for us? The devil. He's not satisfied with just this break and aloneness already, but then he gets children to have to text to each other. Your generation, God bless you, but where's the face-to-face? You guys do have it, but often young people are so estranged, they're looking at each other on phones. That's not the way to go. At least the isolation, being cut off. It's not what you're designed for. You're designed for face-to-face, touching each other, holding each other's hands and such things. And he's done it to us in the world, too, over these last several years. Isolating, social distancing, you can't touch another person, you can't see another person. Meetings like this, where churches get together and in public, face-to-face, outlawed. I'm going to confine you to your homes, says the evil one. You will not see, you will not touch, you will not meet, you will be cut off. And what's the result of that? Man, you look at the anxiety that's gone through the roof and the depression and suicides have skyrocketed on account of it. Because the worst thing in the world, really, the worst feeling in the world is being alone. And we all feel it at times, don't we? Can you get out of it if you get famous, though, and have lots of money? You know, a lot of people, then maybe this is the way I get out of it. Well, I was watching Captain Kirk, namely William Shatner, talking about this. He said, the greatest defining thing of his life is his fear of being alone. He feels lonely all the time. And he said, even as a little boy, he was in class and the teacher, 6, 7, or 8 years old, thought it would be good for everybody to give Valentine's Day cards to each other. And William Shatner said, I wrote mine to myself. Isn't that sad? But he said that even the sadder thing for that was that the only cards he got was from himself. Nobody else sent him a card. Lonely through his life with his ex-marriages, and he said he's especially lonely. He says he's now over 90, and what did he think of 90? They asked him, what do you think, William Shatner, of being 90? He says, it's disgusting. And he says, people come, people go, everything changes, you lose everything. And he's especially terrified of facing death alone because he's not a Christian. He says, all I have are my two dogs alone in the house, and they can't go with me into death. I'm terrified of facing death, says Captain Kirk, William Shatner. In fact, he even made it into one of his Star Trek movies, Last Frontier. One of the early scenes in the movie, he's climbing, remember, the rock wall, the cliff, the mountain, and he falls, and then Spock comes and kind of saves him. Really weird, but even while he's falling, they talk at the campfire that night, and Bones, the doctor, says, Jim, when will you stop doing these crazy, life-threatening things like climbing mountains? And then Captain Kirk says, you know, I was not afraid, though. And I knew, even as I was falling, that I wouldn't die. How do you know that? Well, because, he says, because you two were with me, Spock and Bones. He says, because I always knew that when I'd die alone. And so Bones says, shall we get you a reservation at a hotel? So, at any rate, staring into terrible blackness, death especially, ceasing to exist, alone, alone, all alone, terrifies him, as well indeed it should. For without a Savior, it's the greatest aloneness you would be facing in that eternal. Well, how about Christians, though? Do we experience loneliness, too? Do you ever experience this? About actually feeling really utterly alone in this world? I think we experience it sharper, frankly, than the unbelievers. Why? Number one, we know God's original design here in the Word. We know what we should be experiencing, which we don't. We know that we fall far short of that. And we know also, greater than the world, the passing nature of things. That everything that is seen is transient and passing away. We also love greater than the world does, because God first loved us, right? So we actually love each other better than the world does. We have true love, Therefore, we have deeper connections. Therefore, when we are separated and our loved ones depart, our pain is the greater, for the connection was the greater. Also, though we're saved in Christ, reconciled to God, we feel the sting, don't you, of not seeing God. We long to see Him. We feel that pain. And, of course, the path of the Christian is a very lonely path, isn't it? What does God say in the Bible? He says, come out and be separate from the world. You are strangers in this world. You are exiles. You are pilgrims passing through this world. You're not of this world. We're called to a very solitary life in that sense, at least apart from the world. At least if you think of it, they have each other, right? They're a band of thieves. But they often, when we as a Christian are in their midst, we are sitting alone and aloof, isolated, as well we should, but it's tough. Remember when I was on all those old ships that I used to work on, a lot of times I was the only Christian on the ship for 4 months. Imagine that. I'm surrounded by unbelievers in close quarters. The furthest I get away from them is like 125 feet, and I'm the only one who loves the name of Christ. Everybody else hated the name of Christ. Imagine that. That's tough. And so also, we also know, and we want to be close to people, but in this world of sin, until Christ comes, Proverbs 14 says, the heart alone knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. We never have the deepest connection that we know we're longing for. Don't you feel alone? Say amen. Amen. We do. And how do we deal with this then? Well, how do the unbelievers deal with this? You know, William Shatner, same interview, he said, he's asked that, and he's like, well, I guess we just go down to the bar, order a beer, and slap someone on the back. That's the great remedy. Or be active or something. The best the world can do with this aloneness and loneliness is to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Do whatever you can to distract yourself from the ultimate sentence and isolation of being alone and even heading towards aloneness at death. So they have no remedy for sin because they have no Savior, and therefore they have no hope of a cure. Oh boy, that is really bleakness and desolation, fear. What about the saints, though? How about us? How about us Christians? Does God have a remedy for you? Is there a remedy for aloneness and loneliness for you? Answer, yes, absolutely. And where is it found? In God. What did He do for us? He gives us help in Jesus Christ. What did He do for us in Jesus Christ? To help in your being alone and that great feeling of isolation and loneliness. Well, He does a lot of things. He does many things. Let me list a number of them for the rest of this message. Number one, God says to you this in your aloneness and your loneliness. He says, the first good refreshing word I have for you of encouragement is this, that when you are alone, O Christian, at least know this, you're not alone in being alone when you're alone. Isn't that great? I mean, you are called, we are called to be separate from the world. Pilgrims, strangers, exiles, not of this world. So when you are feeling separate and alone in this world, at least you're not alone. You're in the company of all the great saints who've had to walk alone. Consider this one. Enoch in the antediluvian world, the pre-flood world. Remember, we read, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. What do you think his life was like? He was living in an evil age of wicked sinners. He walked with God, must mean, therefore, he walked alone because he was apart from the world. God took him. Therefore, are you a brother to Enoch, and Enoch a brother to you? Isn't that great company when he felt alone? Noah was alone when he was the only righteous person in the whole antediluvian pre-flood world also, for he was righteous, blameless in his generation when the whole world was corrupt. Are you a brother to Noah? How about this guy in the Bible? You've heard of Abraham. He was called to leave his house and home, his family and kindred, his land and country, to go out alone to a land he didn't know. Of course, Sarah was with him, but he was really alone with God in this. Are you a brother to Abraham? And Abraham a brother to you? You're in great company being alone. Moses was alone in the courts of Pharaoh. Remember, he was surrounded by Satan worshippers, basically. But he followed the God of the Hebrews. He took long walks alone. On one of those walks, he saved a Hebrew from an Egyptian and slew him. Therefore, he had to flee alone out into the desert by himself to live there alone in desolate places. Then to meet God on a mountain alone. No one was with him. To be sent to Egypt again to stand alone against Pharaoh. He led the people back out to the lonely mountain where he went up alone to the top to receive the Ten Commandments with the finger of God written. Then he led the people of Israel through the desert, basically alone, because they rejected him, even Aaron and Miriam. And he was alone on Mount Pisgah when he departed this world. Alone, all these things. Are you a brother to Moses, I say? You're a brother to Moses. He knew it. David stood alone against Goliath. Jeremiah stood alone apart from merrymakers, for God's hand was heavy upon him. John the Baptist was alone in prison. Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. Paul said, at my first defense, no one took my part. All deserted me. I was left all alone. Are you a brother to Paul? And how about to our great Lord Jesus Christ himself? His life was alone, for the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, he says, when you will be scattered, every man to his home, and you will leave me alone. Wow. Of course, the Father was with him, but everybody else departed, gone. He was alone. Do you think he can relate to you? Are you a brother to all the saints, therefore, who are strangers, exiles, and pilgrims in this earth seeking a homeland? The first thing God says to you is be refreshed. You're only experiencing what all the saints are experiencing. Therefore, you're in great, great company. When you're alone, you're not alone. All my children, all my sons do the same. So that's number one, be encouraged in that. Secondly, God says, be encouraged today, for when you are alone and feel that way, it's often in that place of great pain, I get it, that I work the greatest things for you. Let's just refresh on a few of those things I just mentioned. Enoch walked alone, amen? Yet what was the reward and result of that? He went straight to God because he was alone, straight to heaven. Noah was alone. What did that get him? Well, only getting saved through the flood. Abraham was alone, and what did he hear when he was alone? He heard the words of God. And do you know, in all of scriptures, there's not one word in here of Abraham ever receiving a word from God in the crowds. It was only come outside under the stars, look to the stars, so shall your descendants be. God spoke to him personally only when he was alone. I do great things for you when you're alone. Moses was alone on the mountain when he received the word, the law, written by the finger of God, and when he came down, his face shone. That was great. And David was alone when he stood against Goliath, and God gave him the greatest victory more than any other. Paul was alone, but he says, but the Lord stood by me, and he gave me strength so that I should proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. And the Lord rescued me from the lion's mouth, and indeed he'll save me for his heavenly kingdom from every evil. So these are great things. If you are alone, in other words, God says, but no, that's the place of pain where I'm going to do the greatest things for you. Be encouraged. Jesus prayed alone on solitary mountains and was empowered for his life. He drew the disciples alone to lonely desert places, and they got refreshed. And he went alone to the cross. No one was with him. Yet I'm not alone, he says, for the Father is with me. But in his aloneness, the result, he saved the world. So, great things I do for you. When you are alone, let that refresh you. Thirdly, God says, is that when you spend time alone, another great thing I'm doing for you is that I'm making you a better, greater minister in life to those who are alone and feel lonely in their journey as well. Isn't that true? You know, when you feel the pain of aloneness in this world, which we all just have to do, that pain creates in you an empathy so you can relate to other people who are lonely and therefore you run to them, you're a better minister, and they know that you know where they are because you've been where they are, and therefore you can greater comfort them with the comfort that God comforted you in your aloneness. I take, for example, Beth. Again, you make it into so many sermons, Beth. That's the way it is, pastor's wife. But anyway, she spent much of her early life alone. Her house was violent to the point that her only hiding place was a cardboard box. She wrote a poem about it. That aloneness was the one place she felt safe, but it was painful. In her adult life, she had a lot of hurt in her adulthood until she met one day Mr. Wonderful. But even in that, she's had to be alone because, you know, I can be in the pre-op waiting room, but when she's wheeled away into long surgeries and even on her skull and such things, she has had to be alone. She feels and knows what it is to be alone. Therefore, who do you run to when you are feeling alone? Many people run to Beth and they say, she alone understands me. Because she's been alone, she knows where I am in my aloneness. Therefore, we're not alone because I'm with her who was alone. God's making you a greater minister. Do you know how greatly this is God's will for us? He so cares that most of our life as Christians, he says, I want you to take care of the lonely. That's what your job is, as you are yourselves alone. Because when the king will come and sit on his glorious throne, Matthew 25, Jesus says, I'm going to say this. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Therefore, come inherit the kingdom. This is what God's will is for us as Christians, to help each other in our aloneness. He doesn't take away all of our aloneness, but we help each other and so fulfill the kingdom of God. That's a great thing. So God says, be refreshed. It's painful, I know, but I'm making you the greater minister to those who are alone, and so this pleases me just amazingly. Fourthly, God says, in your aloneness, when I let you feel the aloneness, doing this great thing for you, I'm taking away your aloneness by using your aloneness to drive you to be with fellow Christians who hold the same King and Savior as you do. And therefore, I heal your aloneness by your aloneness. For there is one body and one spirit, says Paul. Just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Here in this church, to which you've been driven because you felt your loneliness, you taste how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And there are friends who pretend to be friends, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is what you are to each other, and it's the greatest fellowship on earth. It's the start of the removal of your aloneness. I remember watching a video or a documentary on soldiers coming back from Afghanistan, U.S. soldiers. The interviewer said, are you excited to come back? They said, no, we're going to miss war. She was like, what? You're going to miss war? What are you going to miss? The brotherhood. She says, but you're going home to your families with whom you share blood. To which one soldier said, true, going home, they share my blood, but with these men, I shed my blood. It's a far greater connection. Nothing greater on earth. But we have a far greater connection even than that. For with the people of the earth, we share their blood, but with each other, we shed our blood. There's a far greater fellowship that God has given to you under one King, one Savior, who has shed his blood for us, that unites us and begins to take away our loneliness, the sting of it, and heal you. So it drives you to find the place where God heals your aloneness, namely in the church. This is great stuff. But this leads to the greatest of all. Number five, God says, by your aloneness in this world and the loneliness you face and feel the pain of, the best thing is, I'm drawing you to myself, that you may know that you are never alone, but you walk with me and I with you. You know, all the saints that we talk about, Nick, Noah, Abraham, David, Paul, all these people learned in their aloneness, this lesson, that God was with them and they're never alone. That God was with them in everything. Lynn, can I use you as an example? You shared this story. When Bob was passing, her departed loved husband, and she was freaking out. She just kept repeating again and again in that terrible situation, "But God is with me, but God is with me, but God is with me." And she learned in that horrific aloneness that she was never alone, and she carries that to this day. Bill, you were telling me just this week that he was feeling alone, even though he has a great wife and great children, but he felt so alone. He said, "Pastor, I felt so alone because I'm missing my parents. And they're departed, and I don't have relationships with some of my family I used to have and the extended family. I felt so alone." And then I just opened my phone, and the first advertisement that came down was, "Jesus felt alone. He understands you." And he said, "I learned I'm not alone. God is with me." And he felt the joy of that. I, at one point, some time ago, felt like I was facing death. It ended up being nothing, but I felt like I was facing death. And in the midnight prayers I had, and God used some language from Mutiny on the Bounty with me, he borrowed it, I felt in my heart, I was like, "God, am I going to die?" And I heard the words of Captain Bligh saying, "Greg, I wouldn't lose you for a flagship." I was like, you know, that's such a comfort, that to know that God is with me, and he's with you, and he's not going to depart you, or fail you, or forsake you. God's our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Say near.
Near.
And he saves the crushed in spirit. And fear not, Isaiah 41. God says, "For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." This is our God. He's teaching you this. You are never alone, for I am with you. Rejoice. But how can we be sure of that? Answer, the ultimate reason Jesus Christ came was to deal with our aloneness, our separation from God, to end it, to bring us then reconciliation with God and an assured friendship through his cross and shed blood. "For you were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds," says Paul. "But he has now reconciled you in his body of flesh by his death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him." In Christ, God was reconciling you to himself and then giving to you the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, connections, bringing oneness where there was division, breaking down the barrier and the wall of sin and death and reconnecting us. If God is for you now, who can be against you? What kind of confidence do we have? Can you be separated from his love? "I am sure," says Paul, "that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will now ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's word to you on this day is you're never alone. And even when you face death, the greatest enemy of all, you don't need to be like William Shatner, and I hope he repents and becomes a Christian. But you don't need to fear it like he does. "For though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death," God says, "you will fear no evil, for I am with you. And my rod and my staff will comfort you. And I'm bringing you up to my realms of light and to the world to come, where you'll never be alone again or even feel it. You'll see me face to face, and one another whom you've loved departed in the Lord forever." So, conclusion then today. Till then, till that day, God is with you. We're with each other to help each other. We still have to feel the pain in this world, but here's your joy, that soon, very soon, all aloneness and loneliness will be gone forever. For God says, "You will see me face to face. And you will see each other there too, in the Lord, in the land of the living, in the world to come." Amen.